This time I ask that we stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's scripture comes from John 11, 1 through 11, and 41 through 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when the person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At this point, I would like to welcome Fred Bunch up as he brings us today's message.
Good morning and happy Father's Day. You know how you can tell a father? If you look in his wallet and you see pictures instead of money, you know it must be a father. Well, I have a confession to make. This morning when I got out of bed, I did not look over the side of the bed to make sure that the floor was still there. I just stepped down and what do you know? There was the floor. And when I turned the faucet on, I didn't become surprised that water came out of the faucet or that the water went down instead of spurting up. I wasn't surprised either when I got in the car to come to church this morning. I didn't look under the car. I didn't look to see if I had brakes or wheels for that matter. I didn't check it out. I just got in the car, turned on the ignition, and off we drove. And when I arrived at West 4th and Market, I wasn't surprised to find Bethel United Methodist Church right where it was a couple of days ago. I wasn't surprised at all. And when I sat down in this chair over here, I didn't feel that I needed to press on the chair to see if it would support me. I just sat down in the chair, and there I was. And by the way, I didn't see any of you testing the chair either. You took it for granted. You trusted that the chair would hold you. You know, we've done some pretty crazy things this morning. Some things without really knowing for sure that it would happen. Before the day's out, or maybe before the week's out, some of us, perhaps, will be getting in a long silver tube called an airplane. And we'll be sitting down in a seat next to someone who we probably have never met before. As you go to Joplin, Missouri, I'm sure that some of you will have to sit with somebody you've never seen before. And yet, you're going to sit there, fly at 35,000 feet in a plane that's piloted by somebody you don't know. The only thing you know about that pilot is you heard him welcome you a couple of minutes ago before you took off. But yet you trust the pilot and you trust the plane. I don't know. Why do we trust things like this? Why What causes us to think that things will work the way that they did before? And that's precisely the reason, the way they did before. Why? Because we have some blind trust, do you think? Well, I suspect that one of the reasons that we trust is because we've been down that road before. For instance, I've stepped out of that same bed before and the floor was there. I've turned on the water before and it worked the same way it did this morning. My brakes stopped the same car before, even though I didn't check them this morning. My wife Beverly and I just got back from a trip to Houston where we drove insanely, and I can't blame it on her. But that same car stopped numerous times, and I hadn't checked or hadn't looked under the car to see if the brakes were there. And I still trust airplanes. I understand the physics, but I still don't believe they fly. They're just too big to get up in the same air that we breathe. But somehow, I've trusted these things, and when I think about why, I come back to the same thing. Our past history tells us that they worked before, and we think that we can trust them now. What we know about something in the past often gives us a sense of confidence in the things for the future. And what we experience now gives us a sense that we can trust it next time. That's just how trust is built. What we experience now will help us trust these things in the future. This is really an awesome thought when you think about it. To think that that everything that we're now experiencing right now may support something that we do or think or cause to happen in the future. If we think about the scripture this morning about Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, according to the text, Jesus and his friend Lazarus and the sisters knew each other from the past. In fact, it tells us that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And according to verse 11 of the Gospel of John, Jesus calls Lazarus a friend. They had experienced each other together. And now Jesus is going to resurrect Lazarus. Now this is a pretty big deal. Because we know that there are many Jews in this community where Lazarus has lived and where he's buried. And the Jews, of course, have Pharisees that are looking to find out who trusts this Jesus. They would like to eliminate this man. He was interfering with their interpretation of Jewish law. So you see, there was just a lot of concern on the part of the disciples when Jesus told them, "We're going to go back to Bethany." In fact, starting with verse 47, it tells us that the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting after Lazarus was resurrected, and they said that if Jesus continued to perform miracles like he was doing, that everyone would believe in him, and then the Romans would come and take away their place and their nation. So Jesus was a marked man. He knew that he was in danger of being captured. And yet, when Lazarus got sick, Martha and Mary thought of their friend, Jesus. Verse 3 says that the sisters sent word to Jesus. It was a very simple sentence. The sentence was, "Lord, the one you love is sick." That's kind of interesting, isn't it? We're told that the message was, "He's sick." It wasn't, "Jesus, Lazarus is dying." It wasn't, "Jesus, if you want to see Lazarus again, you better come on back quickly." But instead, when Jesus heard that he was sick, he stayed where he was for a couple of days, and before he went back to Bethany. Of course, he had gone to Bethany many times before. But the disciples warned him, don't go. In fact, they said, just a short time ago, the Jews tried to stone you. And now you want to go back there? Well, the important thing here is that when Lazarus got sick, and then when he died, Mary and Martha immediately thought of Jesus. What they knew about Jesus from before, and these experiences gave them the confidence now to call upon him. What he had been before is why they called upon him. Not because they read about him, not because they had just heard somebody else talk about him, but because they had experienced Jesus before. You see, Lazarus and his sisters lived in Bethany. And verse 18 tells us that Bethany is less than a couple of miles outside Jerusalem. The story is that apparently Jesus often stayed with Lazarus and his sisters when he was in the Jerusalem area. They had had meals together. They had often talked with each other together, as friends will do. They knew each other well. And according to verse 21, when Jesus arrived at their house, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. You see, Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days, according to verse 17. But still, Mary and Martha knew Jesus. And Martha immediately started talking about a resurrection with Jesus, a resurrection for Lazarus. And we're told that Mary, on the other hand, was not necessarily with Martha. She must have been somewhere else because she had Jews visiting her at the time to try and comfort her because of Lazarus' death. And then when they noticed Mary get up because she had heard that Jesus was with Martha, what did the Jews do? They followed her. They were thinking, of course, that she was going to go to the tomb and mourn her brother. But instead, Mary went to be with Martha and to see Jesus. And what did Jesus do at that time? He prayed. Looking at verse 41, Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And then Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and I won't do it here, but Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus did. We know from verses 23 through 27 that Martha believed. She already believed. She knew him well. And we know from verse 45 that many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and saw what Jesus had done believed. And they put their faith in him. But what can we conclude from this lesson? First of all, we already know that we trust what we've experienced before. How we experience things and people now is often determined by how we experienced them in the past, and it will, as we are experiencing them now, provides a basis for us trusting them in the future. The floor was still there this morning. The brakes still stopped the car. The church is still at 4th and Market, and planes are still flying safely. Last I heard. And we know Lazarus, Martha, and Mary knew Jesus. They relied on their past experiences to help them through this awful experience of Lazarus's death. They had spent time with him. They had eaten with him. They had talked with him. They sat around a meal and talked many times. And yet, with all of this discussion with Lazarus and Martha and Mary in past times, we really don't know very much about Lazarus. Lazarus is not mentioned again in the Bible after, actually, chapter 12, which follows this chapter. He's mentioned briefly, but only in this circumstance. We don't know what happened to Lazarus. Did he join the group and follow Jesus from then on after his resurrection? What a witness he would have been. But anyway, there's no mention of it in the scriptures. We don't know if he was captured. We just don't know. But we do know, of course, what happened with Mary and Martha. We know that they continued in their service of the gospel. Well, now it's time for us to ask ourselves, are we as familiar with Jesus as was Mary and Martha? Are we familiar with having a meal with him? Are we used to talking with him, asking for forgiveness, praying for our friends and our church, talking with him about people that we may not even know? Do we know Jesus? Is he our friend? Do we wake up thanking God for Jesus and for a new day? Do we go to bed at night thanking God for Jesus and all the experiences that we've had that day? Folks, I'm familiar with him. I eat with him. I talk with him. I rely on him. I trust him. Why? I've experienced him. I've experienced him in the past. I know what he can do and what he will do. I experienced him 53 years ago when I felt him lead me to my wife, then not my wife, but now my wife, Beverly. I felt his leading. And when at a young age I was passed over because of a health-related issue from attending one of the service academies, which I had just set my heart on. I received a nomination to go and was sent down to sick bay, and they said, "You're colorblind. You're not going to Annapolis." And I thought my world had collapsed. I, that night, went out to the athletic field and lay on a bench, looked up at the stars, and I said, "God, what are you doing to me? What's going on? I feel devastated. This, you know that I've been planning to do this, and I've come down a long road to get there. I've already joined the service knowing that would give me a leg up. But why can't I go?" Well, he said, at least I felt him telling me, "Trust me. Trust me." And I did. Things developed, wonderful things developed after that. It was the best thing for me, as it turns out. This morning, there may be some of you that are facing a crisis of some sort. Some of you may be worried about a loved one, perhaps their health or their habits or the effect that their habits are having on their health. Some of you want to know Jesus. You really want to know him. And if any of us are facing a difficulty, please know that God is big enough. He's large enough to hear our prayers. And he's big enough to talk back to us if we but listen. We are forming our trust because we are using that trust for the future. We need to know him. And then when we get that call at 2:30 a.m. that says, you better come, we'll know that we can rely on him. That's why it's so important for us to spend time at church. We're preparing ourselves. We don't know when we're going to be living a crisis or entering a crisis. We're preparing ourselves. And it's why parents need to continue bringing their children to church, so that together the parents and the children and our pastor and leaders in the church are able to explain that Jesus loves us, he wants the best for us, and he's always there for us. And then when a crisis hits, our hearts can relax, our minds can relax. We can say, Jesus, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but I know you will. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus had power. They had seen him do miraculous things before, and they knew what Jesus could do. And when they sent word to him that Lazarus was sick, they didn't ask him to come back to Bethany. They knew that he had almost been killed the last time he was there. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can trust him. You can trust him too. Some of us may feel a little rusty in our conversations and our relationship with Jesus. But may I suggest that we really do need to get to know him now. We can turn all that rust into trust. Will you bow with me for a word? Dear Father, you are omnipotent and ever available, and we want to know you. We want to feel your presence with us through the Holy Spirit and to walk with you and have you walk with us. Right now, we pledge to place our trust in you and to always call upon you during good times as well as the difficult times. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you sent your Son to us. And along with the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're among us right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, if we can join in singing Resting on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you for that message and for that reminder that even if we get a little rusty in our faith, we just need to keep working on it and to keep Jesus close to us so that when those tough times come, we'll be ready. Would you stand and sing just a verse and a chorus of this song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms?